You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
Hey everyone, the podcast you're about to listen to is a recording from a guest speaker at our last Fishery Science Symposium that we hosted in New Orleans, Louisiana last month. We hosted our third Fishery Science Symposium with the goal of further unifying the angling community, fostering productive discussion, and inspiring stewardship across sectors. Our science symposiums foster a collaborative learning environment for industry leaders that includes guides, anglers, brand representatives, small business owners, media scientists, state representatives, you name it. If you're a stakeholder in the fishing and outdoor industry, you have a place in these conversations. Our fall 2024 event was the first of its kind for the Louisiana angling community, and it was largely a great success. So we appreciate everyone who came out, but these events are intended to be a multimedia event. So you can access a full library of presentation coverage on the ASGA YouTube. You can see those videos. You can also obviously listen to them all as individual podcast episodes. We had a great lineup of speakers. Dr. Marcus Dryman, a fisheries ecologist at the Mississippi State University, stopped by to talk about Jack Revall and a proactive approach for an underappreciated fishery. We also had Chris Shibley and Jason Adrians from LDWF check in to talk about the latest on redfish in Louisiana and the LA Creel program. Ben Meadows, who is an economist and professor at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, stopped by give a pretty engaging presentation about the untold economic impacts of redfish in Louisiana. And then Lu Yen Cho from the Got One app, as many of you know, stopped by to talk about how apps and artificial intelligence are changing the game for fisheries. So be sure to check out each speaker from the lineup. And without further ado, enjoy a digital check-in to the third ASGA Fishery Science Symposium.
Nothing to say about Ben because I don't understand anything that he says, other than he's a really smart guy who loves to fish, and we seem to attract these type of folks. So take it away, sir.
All right. So I teach at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. I usually teach in this lot. Y'all are lunch hungover and ready to get the hell out of here. You're just like my students. So I've been there. I see it. So the thing that I know is that y'all don't want to talk about graphs. Y'all don't want to talk about data. You want to talk about beer. You want to go home. And so the only way I can keep you here is if I tell you stories and I get y'all to just like breathe a little bit. So while I kind of get my composure and think about how fast I can go through this, I want you to turn. I know this is hokey. I'm sorry. But turn to someone next to you and I want you to talk about three things. How much is a Louisiana redfish worth in dollars, not in your heart? In dollars, how much is the Louisiana red fishery worth total in dollars? Okay. And then third, it's already late for me and I've already forgotten that one. So just those two things. So just how much is a redfish worth? Okay. And how much is the entire fishery worth? Seriously, talk, like make it loud and I'll cut y'all off, I promise. Eavesdropping, I'm done. I'm not as good as like, you know, the tech overlords who are eavesdropping on us right now. But from what I've heard is a lot of y'all did what my grandfather would have done. And so this is where the other hook I'll do is I'm gonna tell you stories because then you'll pay attention. It works on 19-year-olds, it works on y'all as well, okay? So the reason why I care about Louisiana redfish and redfish in general is that my grandfather, who was a Depression-era kid, would drive my cousin and I down to the marsh every year from Mississippi, and he would take us out on the hottest week of the year because that's when we were out of school, and we would fish. We'd fish from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. and then again 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. We would eat speckled trout for breakfast. We'd eat speckled trout for lunch, and then for dinner we'd eat redfish. And my grandfather, if I asked him this question, I feel like he would. If I asked him what's the value of a redfish, he would say it's making sure my grandsons are full and they're fed, right? And for y'all, a lot of y'all did what I would call a market price assessment. Okay, I'm sorry that's wordy already, but market price assessment, you said, what is the fish fillet worth times the dollars I spent? And I want you, if you did that, no shame, if you did that, I want you to hold on to it because you're tripping into what fisheries economists are trying to fix, or folks like myself are trying to fix, because you're missing the entire value of the fish. Okay? So if you notice here, I put some really nerdy shit up here. I apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. Have you ever heard a cuss word? I like to cuss in class. It keeps you on your toes. I put some really nerdy shit up here because what I want to do here is I want to talk about what I'm trying to do is actually challenging a norm in economics, which is moving from Y to X. Okay? So here's where we're going, and I promise I'll be brief. Here, your mama says you have to eat your vegetables first. Okay? We got to eat our vegetables when we talk today. But where we're going is why I am hopeful about redfish, and I'm even hopeful about jack conservation. But I can't say anything about jacks because we don't know anything. And also, there's another story about that in a second. Okay? But when I say we got to eat our vegetables, I need to tell y'all really quickly what you just did in your head. Okay? I, like you, I'm an economist, and we measure value with dollars. And look, markets are really easy to figure out how much things are valuable. You want to know how much gas is worth? Go read the sign, right? You want to know how much a hamburger is worth? Go on a menu, right? No one would sell you a hamburger for $10 if it cost them $20 to make, right? So the value is right there, and it has a dollar sign on it. And a lot of you tripped into this, and you said, oh, I know what a value of redfish is. The value of redfish is its fillet price. And again, I'm going to come back to this. That's incorrect, okay? But we're going to come back in a second, okay? Now, in fisheries economics, which is what I'm trained in, okay, we have followed economists from, oh, there's a market for these things, and there's a market for fish who, when people like to eat them. And so we usually specify, and I'm sorry to do algebra on a Friday, like y'all should throw beer cans at me, okay? Beer bottles, that's going to hurt. Y is typically how economists represent how much fish you catch. X is how many fish there are actually in the environment, okay? Now, and again, I will skip through all this. This is really painful. But look, here's a picture of George with that hatch reel catching a redfish. So there you go. There's some more dessert. Okay, economists typically say, look, if you want to maximize a resource, if you want to make profit in your business, make a lot of revenue, net out your costs, and get that as high as possible. Okay? Now, the thing that I think this misses, especially when we talk about fish, is that if your benefit is the price of a fillet times the amount of fillets you sell, minus how much it costs to go get the fish, you are missing the value that most people in here attribute to redfish. And I think all of y'all know this in your head, right? What is the value you get from going redfishing? I forgot, I do this to my students. I'm actually not being hypothetical. I'll actually listen to y'all. What's the value? Yeah, experience, right? It's, you know, that first run they make, right? It's the grip and grin. It's the high five with your buddies, right? And I know this sounds like an arbitrary point, but the value you typically get is not the fish you kill and fillet. It's the fish you see, which is the, for my wildlife folks, it's the amount of biomass you see. You literally get value in the environment from seeing more fish. I don't know if you've had a day like that where you've caught one fish, but you've seen 1,000, or you've seen, and you're like, damn, that was a good day, right? That means that your value of the fishery is coming from the number of fish in the water, not how many fish hit the dock. And I think if we start to challenge that norm, and I think it's happening, okay, let me make a real quick point here. No one says, man, it was a good day. Look how many largemouth bass I filleted. Right? Largemouth bass have made a transition where they're more valuable in the water than they are on the dock. And that's a transition that most species can make, right? Tarpon and bonefish, they had it easy. Y'all are more salty than I am. I live in Birmingham, Alabama, right? Why did tarpon and bonefish have it easy? They taste like shit. Thank you for using cuss words. That's how I feel on Friday. They taste like shit. They're horrible to eat. Where redfish is sticky is because it's always been good to eat, right? And that makes it hard to make that transition. But what I'm trying to challenge here is, like, let's stop talking about how many fish we're killing and harvesting, and let's start talking about X, which is the number of fish that are in the water, okay? Now, the way that fisheries economics works, and I don't know if anybody really wants to talk about this on a Friday, is that we're gonna try to make as much harvest as we can from harvesting as many fish as we can. We have known since the 60s that there's a problem when you run fisheries this way, right? If I release one fish tomorrow, Bill's gonna catch it and kill it himself. So why in the hell would I ever release a fish when someone else can catch it, okay? So sometimes, wildlife agencies, we put limits on how much you can catch, right? So that this behavior stops. But then there's also bad behavior where fishermen affect one another, right? And if you're feeling really nerdy, look up Wikipedia externalities. That's all I do in natural resource economics, and I talk about externalities. But I see, like, that's gonna go right there today, so we're not gonna do that, okay? But the one I care about is what happens, like I said earlier, if we have a bunch of people, I mean millions of people who care about X, and I'll stop saying X. What if we have a million people in America who care about the number of fish in the water? We have a massive problem because no one is valuing that. Okay. Now, again, I am not a maverick. Don't think I'm like the first one to do this. I'm just kicking anthills in fisheries. Okay. So I'm kicking the anthills. They're stinging me. But I think I'm trying to get to a point, because if y'all love the population, if you say I would pay a guide more to go see 1,000 redfish and catch one rather than just to kill one and bring back to the dock, we need new tools to talk about this. Okay. And more importantly, if you go out there and you see a bunch of tailing redfish and it's the best day you've ever had, okay, and you release them all, the market says that's valueless. You didn't take those redfish home and sell them. Literally, the redfish did not charge you a dollar for them swimming around and tailing. There were $0 exchanged. So from a market standpoint, it is valueless and pointless. And we all know that's not true. Okay? And I do see some people say, hold on, Ben, I can measure some of this because I see how many people buy a fishing license. But we all know a fishing license is just like the bare minimum to get on the water. That's not helping you measure how much a fish is worth. Okay? And that's where I'm going with this. So y'all hang tight. So this is the part that sucks, okay? Here is a demand curve. I know, anybody take econ in high school? Boo, yeah, in college it sucked, they're worse. Again, I'm trying to make econ cool, it's hard. So I put a redfish behind it, okay? Like, I'm trying, y'all, okay? Right, but if you remember from an econ class, which again, I would not guarantee on a Friday, we say that in classic economics, if I want to know the value of the good, it's the difference between what you would be willing to pay for it minus what you actually pay for it. That's the value you're getting for it. So if you've ever been to Walmart and you saw something that was half off, you're like, holy shit, that's a good deal. You're getting that value from that good. Now, here's a hard brain scratcher of a question. A lot of us would pay a lot to catch a redfish. Some people, like my guys, know I suck at fishing. Fish just hate me. I once went 13 years without catching a redfish, and I kept track, okay? I was also a kid. I was little. It's after my grandfather passed, but it was a long time, okay? You would pay a lot to go fishing, but how much do the fish charge you to go fishing? Zero. So that means that there's a massive net of benefits that we're not counting. Okay, catch and release fish charges $0. Now, again, I will skip through all this verbiage. Look, I put another picture of redfish. We're having fun here, okay? What economists do in this situation is we say, look, we notice that people are willing and able to spend money to go see fish, to go experience fish, to book guides for fish, to get lodging, to get food. And if we could have a representative survey of all the travel expenses that anglers take on, right? How much they spend to go fish. What that allows me to do is this nerdy crap right here, okay? We would be able to sketch out a demand curve that shows us how much people love fishing. And because redfish charges $0 to go fishing, all of this in between is the value that fishery gives us. Now, this is where I got really, really lucky, okay? And it sounds like I am brown nosing, and I promise I'm not. I'm lucky to be in between two really good folks, okay? That LaCreel data is some of the best recreational fishery data in the world. Bar none, okay? I was joking with those guys. I was able to do my first analysis in the car with George. Look, I pulled down their data, got it into my statistical program, and it was up and running. It's amazing. The other thing is that the ACA has already run a redfish travel cost survey that includes all this data that folks have been doing for redfish travel. And for me, this means that my job is very, very easy and I don't have to hire grad students, which again makes my life easy. Now, in case you were wondering, okay, so this is, sorry, spoiler, I'm bad at spoilers, okay, terrible at telling jokes. All right, remember what you thought the red fishery here in Louisiana is worth? Now you've earned your chance to have your dessert, okay? Who had anywhere from 600 million to 900 million? I had one. It's Tony. He stole my data first, okay? Now, for those of y'all who are like grumpy and you're like, Ben, that smells like mumbo jumbo bullshit, great. How about I just multiply all charter trips taken in the state of Louisiana by the number of trips that are charter trips from LaCreel, okay? You're still in the hundreds of millions of dollars range. Now, I want to point this out really quickly. From an economist angle, I believe this is the bottom. Okay, this is just how much, and I'm gonna pick on my guys, this is how much Dan and George would pay to drive down from Alabama to come and fish for redfish. That is just their valuation of the trip and how much they expend to come to Louisiana. That misses the taxes they pay on Louisiana gas. That misses the taxes that they pay towards any local restaurant. These are what we call multipliers, okay? And I found out literally this week that I have to pay 20 grand to get access to that data, so I don't have it, sorry, okay? But what that means is that this is the bottom line, right? We are not talking about the fact that, I'm sorry, Dan, Dan's gonna go buy 48 beers from a local gas station and he's gonna pay taxes on all of those. That's not included here. That value, but I'm telling you, you're not getting Dan in Louisiana unless we're going red fishing. Does that make sense? So all that value that's attributing to the economy, it's not captured here. So this is rock bottom dollars to me. This is fake. I'll be honest. Like again, this is not economics, this is just multiplication. This is the rock bottom estimate for this fishery. Okay. Now, I told y'all, this is for redfish, and I want to point something out. This value comes from people wanting to come fish here and experience it. And so if you're like, well, how does this get better? Okay, the driver of this value is anglers. As more anglers are passionate about this resource, as more folks, like Bailey said, come from Oregon to come experience Louisiana's fishery, that's going to push up the resources valuation. And this is what I call it, I'm sorry for the nerdy language, this is a virtuous cycle. I mean, it means good things come from good things, okay? If you have a higher valuation, more people are going to call the fine fisheries folks and say, hey, I want us to see us do more. Like, this is awesome. If that happens, they're going to be able to get us a higher stock level of fish. If you have a higher stock level of fish, that means it's more valuable. Because again, remember, I'm saying we're not trying to put fish on the docks anymore. We're trying to get more fish in the water because people just want to catch them. Okay. And if more people are catching them and having fun, that's a higher valuation, which leads to more conservation. You'll see that it goes round and round and round and round. Okay. That's where we can go with this. And if you wonder, like, we'll prove it, Ben. I come back all the way to where I came started from, largemouth bass, okay? No one talks about largemouth bass conservation anymore, and I know they're landlocked, that makes them easy, but no one really talks about largemouth bass conservation because they are conserved and they are valued. And I think for a lot of our saltwater species, this is where we can go, okay? So the other part that I promised you is how much is a Louisiana redfish worth? Anybody wanna, I just flashed it on the screen, but anybody, what were y'all's guesses? I'm curious. $5?
Yeah, $50,000 a piece.
$50,000, I love that one better.
$1,000
a piece.
$1,500.
Okay, I like those. Some of those are more ambition than what I had. Okay, so all I did was I took my economic valuation of this fishery, which remember is the bottom, and just divided by the stock assessments that these folks have produced. That gives you this really nice round dollar that a Louisiana redfish right now is around $100. It's worth $100. Now here's the point I care about. Okay, because again, that's the bot. Remember, this is not including your taxes or any of those multipliers that go into the fish. Now, some of you are like, this is really small. $100 is not a lot, Ben. Well, if you take a slot 27-inch fish, right, the biggest one you could keep under the new slot, which is around 9.1 pounds with a fillet yield of 40%, so 3.6 pounds, and you take a market price from Kroger of $16 pounds, that fish dead is worth $60. And this is I think this is just a bar token thing I can give y'all to throw away. If anyone's like, no, man, Louisiana fish is better dead in the cooler than released, that's bullshit. I get to cuss again, right? Because we know that each Louisiana fish that's swimming around is worth $100 and a dead one's only worth $60. Okay. Now, some of you are like, well, I can do math, Ben, and what about a big old bull? Well, you shouldn't be keeping those anyways. So we don't need to talk about that, right? Okay. So this number only gets better as we start to mess with these numbers, right? A smaller fish, less per poundage. So at all points, a Louisiana fish is better released with numbers than it is, again, killed on the dock. And again, I grew up eating redfish. When I have a fish that's gut hooked, we will put it on the grill. I have no shame about grilling a fish, but I am trying to push back a little bit and saying the value of these fish isn't the ones that are on the dock. It's the ones that are swimming, and that's what's going to keep people coming back.
Yeah. Is that $100? Is that for the fish's entire life, or is that?
That's just for 1 year. That's that fish for 1 year. So, and redfish live a long time. That's a great point, Cody. So this Each Louisiana redfish swimming around right now is worth $100, but that's a year. That's a year they're literally just like throwing dunk, you know, just throwing 3-point shots at you saying, here's $100, Louisiana, for me just swimming around, right? And then you get that next year and next year and next year, okay? And Louisiana redfish live a long time. Now, you'll notice that through this presentation, I have not talked anything about jacks. There's two stories that are important. One, jacks have a special hatred for me. I've never caught one. I've only caught the dinky ones, okay? So, like, I can't tell you what I don't know, and I don't know shit about that. But that's my business partner, George, and he does know. He says they're pretty cool. I really, when George and I were high school, I told him, I was like, if I could go one place in the world where I caught jacks every single day, I'd never move. And so I just found out apparently that's y'all. So I guess that's what y'all got in Louisiana. Okay, the other reason is like, well, Ben, what about an economic valuation of jacks? Well, the issue there is we need more data, right? I'm going to really struggle to find how many jack trips are being taken, and I'm sure as hell going to have problems finding a travel cost model for people who are traveling for jacks. But again, with partnerships with guides and local operations, I do believe we can start to do this in the future. And I think with jacks, especially with how long lived they are, as are redfish, those are going to lead to some eye-poppingly large numbers that, again, this is not a trash fish that deserves to be in a dumpster like Marcus said that, you know, sometimes happens with these rodeo tournaments. And then we also know with like Louisiana redfish, they are a like swimming gold mine for local governments and society as a whole. So I think that's as fast as I can go. I hope y'all learned something. You are free to reach out. If you can't tell them one thing, I love this. I love what I do. I love teaching students about this. And again, I love that this is starting to merge where some of my passions are. So again, if you have any questions, I'm always happy to answer them. But I also know that it's beer 30 on a Friday. And an economist is the last person you want to see, right? The only person you would be less excited to see is like an IRS agent, right? So like, anyways, thank y'all. Y'all are great sports. Yeah.